Yeah, I thought I'd tell you a little bit about myself. So I've been here 2 years, and my family, my husband retired because we had a disabled son, and I couldn't take care of him all by myself. Mm-hmm. And so he retired early and wanted to come back to Eastern Oregon. He grew up in John Bay, and he loved to hunt and fish.
Sure, my husband did too.
Which is what he's doing today. And so we've been here 2 years, and I just was real excited about the opportunity to meet the elderly in the community and learn their stories. And actually, all I know about you is your name and that you're probably 84. And that you were born in, or you grew up at Five Point?
No, I grew up on a farm out here in the valley.
Oh.
My husband was raised, he was born in Cove, but he was raised, his folks had they had a little grocery store and at Five Points. He was born in Cove, but he did grow up actually at Five Points.
I'm not familiar where Five Points is.
It's on the highway between here and Pendleton. It's 8 miles out of La Grande, and there's nothing there now. But the creek, Five Points Creek, is still there, and it empties into the Grand Drowne. Just about 8 miles out of La Grande on the main highway going to Pendleton.
Well, I made a list of questions, and we don't have to stick to them, just things that I was interested in and I thought other people would be interested in. And one of the suggested questions was how many children were in your family and what was your birth order?
Well, there was just, my mother and father were divorced when I was about 4. And I just had the one full brother. He was older than I, and his sister passed away. But then my mother remarried, and she had 2 more children. So actually, I just had 2 brothers that I grew up with. The other little girl died. But my mother was married twice. And we, my great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, had a farm. I don't know how many acres the original farm had between La Grande and the road going into Island City. It's out towards Mount Glen. I don't know if you know where Mount Glen is. Anyhow, do you know where the city park is?
Yes.
The big park. Anyhow, our farm was on out about a mile and a half on out in the valley. And my great-grandfather had the acreage, and then when he died, he divided up the acreage between his 5 girls and 1 boy. But I was actually raised on the farm after he passed away, and my grandfather on my mother's side had the first mortgage on the ranch, and so then he bought the ranch, and that's where I was raised.
Now, how did your grandfather come to this valley? Was he a wagon train?
My great grandfather came on wagon train to the valley, and he's the one that bought the land. I don't know how many acres there was in the original land, but when we bought the farm, we just had 72 acres left that we bought. Well, my grandmother had 23 acres of her own, and then we bought the other 50 acres, and so I was raised on the original farm, the house and everything, the old house was there. But the other members of the family, each were given so much land, and so we just actually ended up with 72 acres.
And what did you do with the land that was your father?
Oh, my stepdad worked on the railroad, but he farmed, had horses, cows, sheep, pigs, chickens, and he just raised, you know, wheat and alfalfa, food for the animals mostly on the farm. And then, of course, we always had a big garden. Food from the garden.
Can you describe some of your earliest memories from living on the farm? Anything significant?
Well, the most significant thing I remember is I had started school in town at the first grade. Then we moved on the farm, and walking to school, it was a mile and a quarter down to the old Moss Chapel School, and walking every day back and forth to school. And in the winter time, it was cold, oh, snow up to our knees. And it was good to get in the little schoolhouse and stand around. All of us stood around this big old pot-bellied stove to get warm.
Now, was that, I'm not familiar with where that school was. Elmos?
It was Moss Chapel was the name of the school. And it's, you know where Island City is.
Yes.
And you know the road that comes north out of Island City going towards Imbler and
yes.
up the branch. Yes. Well, our farm, our school was right on the corner of that road, just about a mile out of Island City.
I see.
And our farm was 3 miles out of the Grand. But anyhow, we had to walk, my brother and I had to walk to school every day.
And was that school all the way through high school? Or?
No, just in the sixth grade. My grandfather worked on the railroad, of course, and my stepdad too, but my grandfather, my brother actually had started high school. I just had one old brother, and he was 2 years older than I. He had started high school, and so my grandfather at that time, when I was in the sixth grade, he would drive out to our farm every morning for breakfast and have breakfast and pick us kids up and take us to school. And I started going to Greenwood School then in the sixth grade. And he went to high school. And that was the reason for us changing schools.
Now, you said he drove you to school. What were you driven in?
He had a little car. I don't know. I think whether it was a Chevrolet or what, but he drove us. I know when I was younger, and we'd have to come in town for groceries in the winter, but we drove our horses and the sled, you know, to town to get groceries in the winter. But we had a little old Ford. But when it was too slick, too much snow, why we could take the horses to come to town
in the sled.
Mm-hmm. But the little Moss Chapel School now is a home, and I can't remember the name of the little road that leads down to the school. But anyhow, it's just about a mile and a quarter maybe out of Island City, and it's a little old brick house, and it's been made into a home.
That'd be interesting. I'll have to try to find it.
It's on the left-hand side, just coming out of... Actually, there's very few buildings on the left-hand side of the road coming out of Island City. And so it's there. And I cannot remember the name of that lane. I should. But that I used to walk down always to school, 6 years to school.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a half-brother that lives right across the road from, on the same side of the street as the little chapel, Moss Chapel School.
Now, was that a public school?
Mm-hmm. It was a county school. It was a county.
A county school.
Mm-hmm.
How many children attended?
I think 13 was the most we had. And, of course, quite a few that were Mormon kids. Mount Glen, which is not too many miles from our farm, but it's over the hill towards Mount Emily. Mount Glen was, that was the Mormon community. And about the last 2 years I was there, there were about four or five kids from the Mount Glen school that came to our school. Apparently they closed their school and then came to our school. But the 13 was the most we ever had.
Okay. What would you, how could you describe your early education in this, did you like going to school?
Or? I loved it. Mm-hmm. It's fun. Because, you know, I just had boy cousins and my brother to play with, so I grew up like a boy, climbing trees and everything that they did. And so it was really fun to have girls there to learn to love and appreciate.
And then after the sixth grade, you came into LeGrand?
Came into LeGrand School every day. My granddad would pick us up. He'd come out for breakfast at 6 and take us in town, and we'd stay at his house until time for me to go to Greenwood, which was, my brother would have to walk on up to high school. But I would stay there at his house until time to go to Greenwood School, and then I'd walk down to school, about 6-8 blocks, I guess it would be. And then he'd come home from work, and about 5 o'clock, when we would go home with him out to the ranch, and he'd eat supper with us, and then he'd go back to his house in town. So he was the one that, we didn't have buses in those days, and so we just made our own transportation.
And then you went on to LeGrand High School after
went
that?
To high school, uh-huh. And he did the same thing, went through high school with us, every morning coming out, picking us up, taking us in town to school, and then we'd walk from his house up because it was too early, you know, to go to school when we get back. So we walked to school up to high school.
And after you finished high school, what did you do?
Well, I had some really special friends that we had at Eastern Oregon College at that time. And these friends were really, well, they had enrolled at the college. And I didn't, we were short of money and everything, and I didn't particularly want to go to school, to the college.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to business school, and it was Draper's Business School, Draper's Business, that we had here in LeGrand at that time. And of course it took about a year to finish that work, and then I started working for Western States Grocery, which was a wholesale outlet for Safeway stores. And we had 12 stores in this area, and they weren't trucking things in from Portland for the stores at that time. So they'd come in on the train to our Western States Grocery outlet there in LeGrand, and then we would truck whatever the stores had ordered mm-hmm. to the stores in Baker, Union, up the branch, and here in LeGrand. We have 3 stores in LeGrand, if you can please.
3 Safeway stores?
Mm-hmm.
My goodness.
At that time. But anyhow, I worked there for nearly 3 years, and then I got married.
Mm-hmm. Started a family then?
We were married in 39, and our first little girl was born in 42. And her Stoll's father had wanted him to take over the otter camp. They just had 6 cabins there at this otter camp at that time.
Stoll was your husband?
Mm-hmm.
I see.
And Dad Weimer, that was the arrangement when we got married, that Stoll was to, we were to live in one of the cabins, and Stoll was to help in the store, so anyhow, by that time, when they could buy beer and drink it, you know.
After Prohibition?
After Prohibition, that happened. And so they were selling beer there, this 5 Points little store, you know. And Stoll did not like it. On Saturday nights, you know, men working for the Mount Emily Lumber Camp on up the river, Grand Round River, and other men working on the railroad there at Hillgard would come and drink beer and tall stories told and everything. Anyhow, Stoll did not like working there. He just didn't like it. And so one night we had come to LeGrand and to go to the theater, and then stopped for some refreshments at the old Nook in LeGrand.
And a young man came up and asked Joel if he would fight fire. There was a fire, this hill right back here was on fire. And Joel said, well, sure, he'd fight fire, but he'd have to take me to 5 Points and change clothes and come back. So he did. And anyhow, I didn't see him for over a week. He was fighting fire. And that's how we got interested in doing work in the hills. And so that was the start of this. Anyhow, we stayed there at 5 Points for about 6 more months, and then he started working for the Oregon State Forestry in the random week in town. And, and was disappointing to Dad Weimer because he wanted Stoll to take over, you know, because he was getting to the point where it was too much for him. And, but we took him to the land. My granddad had 5 houses, and he had given each my full brother, my little half brother, and me each a house. And so when Stoll and I moved to LeGrand, we were living in a one-room apartment on Jefferson, and our beat off to Adams or whatever. Anyhow. We were paying $11 for this one room and shared a bath with a neighbor there. Cook and ate in this one room. He says, how come we're paying $11 a month rent and we're only getting $6 a month rent, which is really cheap rent for the little house that my granddad had given me. And so anyhow, we asked these friends of my mother that were renting the little house to that we wanted to move in there, so then they moved into another home, and that's where our first little girl was born there, on the road, one of my granddad's houses that he'd given me. And
does that house still exist?
Yes.
It's still there.
It's still there. And then Stoll, you know, after having worked fighting fire that it was about 2 or 3 weeks that he actually worked on the fire, but then he started working for Oregon State Forestry, that's how come we left 5 Points then. And of course, Dad Weimer stayed there, I don't know how many more years, but it wasn't too many years, and then they sold it and moved to LeGrand, because it was just, you know, too much fun.
And did you have more children than your daughter?
We had, my husband and I had 5 children. And we had the one little girl when we were in that little house on Monroe. And then just before the second daughter came along, we bought a little house on East M Avenue. And then the other 4 children were born here.
In the house, or?
On East M Avenue.
So the children were born at home?
Well, no. I went to the hospital. We had to live on. But that's where we were living.
Let's see. What, as a child growing up, what did you do for entertainment? Other than climb trees and...
played Annie over. Anyhow, we played all the games, the kids climbing trees and fishing with in our little creek that went through our farm there. We would fish. I never ever caught anything, but anyhow, we just played boy games because I didn't have any girlfriends close, you know. So we wrestled just like a boy with my cousins and my brother. And kept busy, and then of course we had to work as we got older there, helping on the farm.
Did you ever travel out of Union County as a youngster?
Well, before when we were just little, I can remember, I must have been 3 or 4, my granddad worked on the railroad, and so we had passes. And my mother hadn't remarried, so she was on his pass. And my brother, and my full brother, and I, and my mother, and granny,
my grandfather's wife would go to the coast every summer.
Oh.
Just as, you know, every summer. And my grandmother had very good friends that lived in Gresham, and sometimes we'd stay with them. But we'd go down, and we had pictures, you know, of the ocean, and that was always exciting to look forward to, going down the ocean. But of course, then when Granny died, and I don't remember, I must have only been 4.5, 5 maybe, when she died. By then, those trips stopped.
What was a train trip like then?
Just like it is now.
Really?
I loved it. And, oh, I hated it when the train went out. I just, you know, it was just too bad to lose the passenger train. But
I'm very disappointed also that there's no passenger train. When did the train service, passenger train service, end here?
Well, gosh, I can't remember. I know when I was working at Western States Grocery, it was still on. I can't remember when it went out. But I, of course, didn't have any. I did take trips going over to my cousin over in Hamilton on the passenger train, you know, when I was a teenager. I can't remember. I don't know how many years ago.
One of the questions my daughter wanted me to ask, I have an 18-year-old daughter who's very interested in history also. She wanted me to ask you how the Depression affected you and your family and what you remember about that.
Well, I couldn't see any difference myself because we didn't have much before. I mean, you know, living on a farm, you just lived off of your farm. And
you still had plenty of food because you were on the farm.
And so I couldn't really see much difference, actually. But my granddad, like I say, he had his little old Ford at first that he drove back and forth to the mansion, and he was the one that really kept us going, I think. When my folks first moved on the farm out here, I'm sure that he was the one that really helped us to get really settled in and helped with getting things that we needed to farm with. And I can't remember.
You don't remember shortages of, like, shoes or?
Well, we just wore our shoes till they wore out. We didn't have new ones. We'd buy probably a pair at the time school started, and that lasted all winter. So summer you went barefooted. And we didn't belong to any church. We didn't go to church, and so we didn't, you know, have a lot of clothes to get us.
What do you remember about the ethnic people in the valley when you were growing up? The Chinese, the Irish, the blacks, and American Indians. Do you have any stories to tell?
I just don't. My granddad worked a section foreman on this line. I don't know where it was, but through the Union up that way. Anyhow, he always had a lot of Italians that worked for him. And so I didn't know any Spaniards or anything like that, but he had some really good friends, and they would fix us Italian food and send out to the farm with him and things. But actually, I didn't know any Spanish-speaking people or anything like that, except just people.
No Chinese?
He had some Chinese that worked for him, but I never ever knew them. I know we had what they call Chinatown here in the town.
Can you tell me what you remember about that?
Well, I was just scared. Oh, Chinatown! It's where the old Safeway store was. That street through there was Chinatown. And there were just some old buildings there. And rickety, rackety old buildings that went over to the railroad. That, I don't know whether it's about 2 blocks, I think it was. It was called Chinatown.
But you had a fear of going there, or Well, just because it was Chinese and we didn't know them.
It was different.
It was different. Mm-hmm. And so, the kids, we just never ever went there. Mm-hmm. You know, unless we have to drive past, you know, the folks in the car.
What about American Indians in the valley? Do you remember any?
No, I don't. Mm-hmm.
Oh, hot lakes. What do you remember about hot lakes when you were growing up?
Hot lake?
The hotel out of Hot Lake?
I don't remember anything about it.
Really?
No, because we didn't have any. I never went to Union. Mm-hmm. When I was, you know, before I was in, probably never went. Oh, there we. I probably was in the sixth grade before I ever knew there was a town of Union.
Oh, really?
You know, because our interests were out on the farm, just out of direction, and my granddad, just his houses were just two blocks from the railroad there. Mm-hmm. So that was our little world, was just there and the farm. Mm-hmm.
What can you tell me about the medical care that was available to you as a child growing up?
I don't think it was very much. I know our baby, my mother had this little girl that after she married my stepfather, and she was, anyhow, I don't know what was wrong, but she was born early and only weighed about a pound and a half. They never weighed her. But my granddad's wedding ring would go clear, he'd put it on clear up to her shoulder. She was so tiny. And she lived till she was just within just a few days of being a year old. And then she died of whooping cough. I was going to a little country school and the whole school had whooping cough. Yeah. And I guess she got it from me and my brother. Mm-hmm. And she died. Well, she was even there.
That's amazing that she survived a year.
A year, really. And but even at the nearly a year, she couldn't sit up by herself. Uh-huh. You know, she was still like a little baby. Uh-huh. So I don't know other kids that have been born and you know weighing that small amount have survived and grown and developed into strong. Mm-hmm. You know, help kids. Mm-hmm. And she was just still not because she couldn't sit up by herself. Oh, mm-hmm. She loved to have you hold and sit her up, but she mm-hmm. wasn't strong enough to sit up by herself. Mm-hmm. It's sad that, like, we kids, you know, she got it from one of us, no doubt.
And whooping cough is something we're vaccinated for now.
Right.
What can you tell me about what downtown LeGrand was like in your early years here?
Well, we didn't get to go downtown very often, only to buy a pair of shoes. Living on the farm and everything. But what really was exciting to me was when they, and I can't tell you the years, I just have no way of telling you what years, they took the land there where the old Safeway store was, and they built a hotel, the Grand Hotel, and it was a Spanish design, you know, with the green colored stucco and then the tile, red tile roof, and it was beautiful. I loved it. I thought it was just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And they had a beautiful dance floor, ballroom up on the second floor, and then there were several businesses, barbershop, and I don't know what else was down on the first floor, on the Adam Street side. Oh, and then I went moved to Arizona after my husband died. Anyhow, when I came back, they had torn down the Le Grand Hotel.
What year would that have been?
I don't know. Goodness, I just wish I had written things down. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you that, but I was just heartbroken to come back and see it gone. And here they were building the Safeway store. You know,
the one that they just moved out of last winter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe the year that that would have been. And then another time when I came home, in the meantime, after they tore down the Grand Hotel, they built the Sacagawea Annex, which was, you know, the apartment building in the back, you know, it's like it's 7 stories high, the Sac Annex.
Yes.
Well, we had the Sacagawea Hotel was in front. They built that. And I think it was built before the Le Grand Hotel was torn down. But anyhow, they said the reason, that was a 7-story hotel, and it was beautiful, too, and they had a nice, dense floor, too, up there. I loved to dance, and my husband and I both loved to dance. But anyhow, when I came back from one of my trips, that was just when they were starting to use motel. And here, that big, beautiful 7-story building was gone. And the bank, of course. And after I was married, my husband and I joined the LDS Church, and our meeting place was on the corner of 4th and M Avenue. The old state building was there. And I came home from one of my trips, and here it was a pile of brick. That beautiful old steakhouse. Mm-hmm. The LDS steakhouse was nothing but that pile of brick, and they were cleaning them and sold the brick, you know. I couldn't believe it. I hadn't heard anything about, you know, selling that building. And, and those were three real shocks in my life from when they tore down the Le Grand Hotel and the Sac Annex and then the state, the Elias State building. You know, changes are necessary in life. And we didn't always understand how things are done. But anyway, those were three big chunks.
How has Le Grand changed for the better, would you say, in your lifetime?
We have much better streets than we had when I was a kid. You know, we had and a lot fewer trees. Like, I can remember when I was in the 6th grade, I think it was, that our street was just a dirt road. Spruce Street was just a dirt road out to the big park, you know, and on out to our house was just a country road. And anyhow, I don't know who it was that instigated it, but they planted trees on both sides of Spruce Street. And they're beautiful now, just gorgeous. And it was wonderful, you know, putting in the curbs and putting in trees in the parking, and then we had gravel on the street instead of just dirt, mud. In the winter.
Right.
And of course now we have the blacktop streets. But the trees now, Le Grand really has a lot of trees. And at that time there was quite a project going on planning
to plant trees
in the garden of the street. And I think the trees on Spruce Street, particularly where I, you know, going to school at Greenwood, I love those big trees now. They're just gorgeous.
How about, what would you say that Le Grand has changed for the worst, other than the buildings that were torn down that was
well,
hurt so much?
Well, taking the railroad out of Le Grand, all we have is just the freight trains. I think that has hurt Le Grand. You know, there's just not many opportunities for kids graduating from high school to get work, to stay here, to keep them here. I have two brothers that after they took the passenger trains off, that had to move to Portland or another area, you know, to keep their years that they had in with the railroad. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the one thing, we just don't have the opportunities for kids graduating out of school without, you know, going on to college to get work. And I know my son moved up from Arizona 6 years ago, and he has six boys, and it was really difficult for them to find work, you know. Mm-hmm. They just not that many opportunities here in the county of this. I love it here. I've lived in Arizona and Utah, and this is home.
This is home.
I love it here.
Well, I from Arizona when my dad was starting, well, his second or third wife had died, and he needed somebody to help him, you know. And my brothers asked me if I could come and stay with them. I did, actually, my half-brothers, if I could come and help out with him. And so I moved up here and stayed with him all that winter, and then, of course, he died next spring. So then I went back to Arizona. Mm-hmm. But I know my brothers didn't want to leave Le Grand. They loved Le Grand too, but they had to move because
of work.
Not being
work.
Uh-huh. Yes. They had been quite a few years with the railroad, you know, so they were able to finish out their years and retire from the railroad. Very important.
Like your husband worked for the Forest Service?
State Forest Service. Uh-huh. Yes, after fighting fire all that week, and I didn't seem. And the thing was, when I quit work with Western States Grocery, I really loved working there. And I don't know what it was, but anyhow, when I left, why they gave me a check, it was $800 and some odd, and I don't know how come I was entitled to it, but it was one of their policies. Uh-huh. And so anyhow, we bought three cows, some little small pigs, and we bought 100 chicks with that money. And so the dad Weimer says, now just help yourself to the till when you need something, just help yourself. We could not do that, you know, because here we've been on a salary, and then you just don't go into a till and help yourself, even though he was supposed to be, you know, helping dad, taking over so he wouldn't have to be working so hard. But anyhow, we had our chickens and our cows, and we had our cream money, so we had our own money from the cows. And when the chickens came time to turn off, Stowe was fighting fire. The mother Weimer and his sister Della and her husband Fred Reese, he would kill the chickens he had a hook. He tried to go up through under the chin and up into their head, kill them. He'd hang them on the clothesline and let the blood drain, and then you didn't take the innards out in those days. You left the heads and the feet on and the innards in. And anyhow, you just picked the feathers off and take them to the grocery store.
And you sold them.
And we sold our chicks. And anyhow, this night, it was thundering and lightning, and Fred was killing the chickens, and we were taking, and they'd get up, some of them, you know, weren't completely dead when he cut them off of the line to take in to, you know, take the feathers off. And somehow we get up and walk around, and that roof was hanging out. Oh, I tell you, that was so scary. It was thundering and lightning that when we were doing this. And Mother Weimer and Della were helping to inside with putting boiling water on, taking the feathers off so we could take it to market the next day, because you just took I don't know, it was probably a dozen at a time, because we didn't have refrigeration like we have now. And, I'll never forget that. Anyhow, Stowe got out of all that work, working on the fire. He missed all that fun.
How much would a chicken bring? Do you remember?
I don't remember. Wasn't much.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember. But, I mean, we we had a crew working on those too. And you know, like I say, that wasn't the only time we killed. It was just, we just killed whatever. We had had reports that they would accept so many the next day.
At the market.
And so, I don't know, it went on for several weeks before we got rid of all of our chickens, you know. Mm-hmm. And still got out of all of that.
Because he was on the fire.
Uh-huh. But that's how he got his foot in the door, working for the state board in Colston. Mm-hmm. Because we moved to town then. We were married in September in 39. Well, we moved to town then in 40 into my little house that I had with my grandfather had given me. We were able to not have to dip into Dad's till to get money. We were able to survive.
Now, when you were raising your children, did you belong to any clubs?
Well, my husband was LDS, but I wasn't, and he was inactive. We had been in high school together. We had friends that we had known in high school that had married and had started a little family, you know. So there were about six or eight couples of us that were friends in high school that we would get together on weekends do things together, sometimes play cards or games or things, you know. But we didn't actually have any clubs or anything that we belonged to. But we did go to the dances. The LDS, you know, had this they played basketball in the big building, and then they had dance floor down below to dance. And every Friday night during my senior year, they had dances, and the community could come as long as they didn't drink or smoke, you know,
right. And
behave. And that was just really great, because I loved to dance. We all loved to dance, and it was six couples of us, and we just had a really good time dancing and doing just fun things together. Picnics and stuff together.
Mm-hmm. You said your husband hunted. Did he provide food for you that
long? Oh, yes. I've got a picture of him when he was 12 years old, just where Five Points, you know where Five Points Creek is that comes
mm-hmm.
out? Well, that, it comes down from the north, and the hill across the street right there where the little auto camp was. Stowe went up there hunting with his brother-in-law when he was 12. And his first gun. Anyhow, he shot this deer and killed it. And his brother-in-law, of course, had to help him to clean it out and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he made him pack that deer. He says, if you're big enough to shoot him, you're big enough to pack it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little deer.
Mm-hmm.
And anyhow, I've got a picture of him with that deer draped around his neck, bringing it down off of the hill there by Five Points. But he loved to hunt birds, ducks, whatever.
Did you pick huckleberries, pick berries in the mountains?
Or? Well, he didn't, but he would bring me home some if he found them, but
uh-huh.
he didn't like to pick huckleberries. But my mother and my stepdad, they used to go and huckleberry, and I love to pick huckleberries.
I do too.
And I love them. Just love them. But Stowe didn't like to pick huckleberries, but he did always. If he ran into some, he didn't deliberately go hunting for huckleberries. But, and there's some girls here now that, you know, the Combs girls?
Yeah.
Anyhow, they know where the huckleberries are. And every year, they get huckleberries. And my daughter-in-law, they always, I don't know if she goes with them. I think she has gone with them some. Because she has made jam and given me huckleberry jam. Delicious.
Mm-hmm. What about mushroom collecting? Did anybody do that?
Not my family.
No.
We never liked mushrooms. Mm-hmm. A lot of people do. And
Dear, my husband and I do that.
Do you?
Some. Let's see. What experiences have you had with the LeGrand Fire Department? I think I had some information that your son was with the fire department.
He is. You know, it was really strange. 6 years ago, before Mother's Day, he called me from Arizona while I was here in LeGrand. He said, Mom, he says, if the fire chief ever resigns, he says, let me know. In the paper that very night, it was telling about the fire chief. And I can't remember
my
his
goodness.
Name, resigned, was resigning. And so I called him back that night then after I got the newspaper and saw this. I couldn't believe it. And he says, well, and he says, I'll call and find out when they're interviewing and I'll be up. Because he had 20 years in there at Mesa Fire Department. He was battalion chief over five small fire stations there in Mason. He had 20 years in, and he was wanting to come back to LeGrand, and his wife was from California. I mean, was born in California. He wasn't too sure whether she'd want to come, but she's loved it here, I think. But anyhow, he came up, and when they were interviewing, and I think he said there were nine that they interviewed for the job. And anyhow, he said, well, if I'm supposed to get it, I'll get it. And he got it. I was so tickled. And so they've been here 6 years now. He's been fire chief for 6 years. They love it here. His kids, his six boys. And then they adopted two little girls. She always wanted a girl, and I had a little. But how come they adopted these little girls? They're both, well, she was working in Arizona in an office. I don't know what kind of an office it was there. And she came home from work one evening, and the boys had had their friends over playing. They had just bought, or were buying, this new house, and it was two-story with an attic, you know. And here they'd had their friends over walking on the two before up in that attic, and one of them fell through, missed the board and fell through. So she says, that's it. She quit work to stay home with her kids. She says she needed to be home. So she started working with foster, with these, whoever it was that had these children that had the special
special needs.
And so she started taking care of these children. And I don't know how many different ones she had. She had older boys, and then she ended up with these two little girls. One of them had a cleft palate, and she's still, and then the other little girl, she's beautiful. She's Spanish and big black eyes and brown hair. And anyhow, the oldest little girl is now nine, and they adopted these two little girls. And I said, please, you know, and little Isabella, she never, because she's, how old is she now? She must be seven the next birthday. Anyhow, she'll always just be an invalid, but she's beautiful, big brown eyes and brown hair, and they keep her so clean and everything, she'll never be any better. And then little Rebecca, she's in the third grade. She's behind 1 year in school. But anyhow, she had this cleft palate, and she's had so many surgeries. But you can still tell she's having problems, you know. But anyhow, they adopted those two little girls, and Bruce says, well, they're just special little spirits. Nobody wanted them, you know. So they've got their girls.
Good two girls.
But oh, you know, I just couldn't believe, you know, the care they need, you know, to take that on. But they've got their girls.
I believe the tape is just about to run out, so I think we're going to have to stop and